The scripture reading this morning is Jeremiah 15, verses 3 through 4. Jeremiah 15, verses 3 and 4. I will appoint over them four kinds of doom, declares the Lord, the sword to slay, the dogs to drag off, and the birds of the sky, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. I will make them an object of horror among all the kingdoms of the earth, because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, for what he did in Jerusalem.
This morning, my sermon is the Lord spoke, but they paid no attention. Before we begin, also would like to say welcome to our visitors. We are a body of believers who obeys the word of God. And we do so because the Holy Spirit delivered it to the apostles who wrote it down over 2,000 years ago for us to learn and to grow from. And I want you to know, if you are visiting here with us this morning, you have a special invitation to be here and worship with us whenever you have opportunity. We would love to have you come and worship with us whenever you can. I want you all to know that I know a little something about speaking and no one is paying attention. I mean, literally talking to a person, making it simple, making it plain, saying, hey, listen, this is what you need to do. This is how it needs to be done. And please follow my instructions. I know what you're thinking. And no, I'm not talking about DeKenna or you guys, but I am talking about my 2 and 4 year old Roman and Addie. And I know, parents, you can agree with me about this very thing, that we speak sometimes and they don't listen. So this morning, I want to talk to you all in my lesson about four very important aspects of the story of King Manasseh and his rebellious actions against God. So we first want to look at the rebellion this morning. Secondly, we want to look at the rejection. And third, we want to look at his repentance. And fourth, his restoration. Me and Dan have decided to switch things up on you guys. I'm going to try this PowerPoint thing and do a little Dan-esque type of thing this morning. So pray with me, be with me as I give this a shot. I know you all are not used to me doing this, but I wanted to give it a shot and try to do something a little bit different. So if you would, please turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. If you have your Bibles with you or your devices in which you can follow along with me, that's 2 Chronicles chapter 33. We'll begin reading at verse 1. The rebellion. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations, whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places that his father Hezekiah had broken down, and he erected altars to the Baals, and made Asherah, and worshiped all the host of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he burned his sons as an offering in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, and used fortune telling and omens and sorceries, and dealt with mediums and with necromancers. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. And he carved the image of the idol that he had made, he said, in the house of God, of which said to David and to Solomon his sons, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen, out of all of the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will no more remove the foot of Israel from the land that I've appointed for your fathers, if only they will be careful to do all that I've commanded them, all the law, the statutes, and the rules given through Moses. Manasseh led Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem astray to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the people of Israel. Now we find reading here a little bit about King Manasseh. He was the only son of Hezekiah. Not only that, he began his reign at the age of 12 years old. And he reigned for 55 years. He also was raised by a righteous father. But because of the influences around him, because of the heathen-like influences around him, his reign was characterized by idolatry. His rebellion had to do with something that we deal with today. Either we have overcome it, either we are dealing with it, or we have it in our lives today. And that thing is selfishness. He was self-centered. He was very selfish. And because of it, he had caused others to fall. Now, instead of obeying God, instead of doing what God had commanded him to do, he did what he wanted to do. Now, we all fall victim to doing what we want to do from time to time. And the fact of the matter is, we see a lot of this going on today when it comes to worship. If you ask yourself, is it really like this? I say yes. And do you know why? Because it's over 2,000 denominations that exist today. He established one church. And today we have over 2,000 different denominations. It is amazing. It is amazing to me. And Manasseh's story is not something that's unique. It's not unique by any means. And the reason why I want to tell you that it's not unique, because this thing is what's going on today. You have individuals who profess, who proclaim to love God, but they practice lawlessness. 2,000 denominations. That's why. Oh, we love him. It's in his name. We do it unto him, but yet we practice lawlessness. So you're telling me that light and dark can exist. You're telling me oil and water mix. You're telling me that unrighteousness and righteousness goes together. Today we see idol worship all the time. Today we see people being led by false teachers all the time. Today altars are erected falsely worshiping God, by churches doing according to what man has said, not what God has said, not what God has instructed, but what they want to do. You have people dabbling in sorcery. You can go down any main street today and you can find a what they call a tarot card reader, a palm reader. Some of those places, if you hadn't noticed, they look like a death trap. They do. You go inside and it looks awful. And the thing that I want to know is this. For those who can tell your fortune, why is it that they aren't as fortunate? Right? I can tell your fortune, but I'm struggling. My place looks like a death trap, but I can tell you that $1 million is in your future. Doesn't make any sense. We have to understand that these things are going on. Manasseh not only intentionally offended God. I want you to understand something. He did not only intentionally offend God by desecrating Solomon's temple with idols, but he also practiced pagan worship. And then he takes it a step further and sacrificed his only sons. He takes them out. So let's look at verse 7. The Bible reads, "And the carved image of the idol that he had made, he set in the house of God, of which God said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever." Don't you find it interesting that God said his house would bear his name forever? I want to ask the men. I just want to be honest. I want to ask the men. You go and you purchase your house, and your name is on the deed. You have ownership of that house. I come in and I say, when I get in your house, I'm going to do what I want to do. I am going to put my feet on the couch with mud on it, and I'm going to jump on your couch. I'm going to raid your refrigerator and eat all your food that you worked so hard for and put in there. everything that you have put in your house, put in place for people to follow. All of your rules, all of your instructions, and I'm going to go in and I'm going to change those things and run your house the way I want to. How many men in here would allow me to do that today? I didn't think so. So why in the world would we ever go into God's house and do what we want to do? Implement what we want to implement, change what we want to change in order for it to fit our lifestyles, to fit what we want to do and make things happen that makes us feel better. It's no different. And then there's people that say, well, there's nothing to a name. He says that it will bear my name forever. There's nothing to a name. I can only imagine if you tell me there's nothing to a name. Mother's in here today. As soon as you see the pretty little baby come out. Oh, he's so sweet. He's go, 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 go. And you say, hi, I want to introduce everyone to my baby, Lucifer. Oh, this is such a wonderful baby, baby boy. Yes, it is my son. I'm so proud. Everybody, I want to introduce you to my son, Osama bin Laden. But there's nothing to a name. Don't tell me that there is nothing to a name. Case in point, if you were driving by this place, this building in which we meet, tell me would you stop if outside of the building it read this. The Holy Apocalyptic Palm Reading Church. Hold my mule while I go upside Mount Sinai, brought to you by Anheuser-Busch in St. Louis, Missouri. Would you stop here? I don't think so. I don't think you would come here. I don't think you will worship here for first and foremost, because does it bear the name in which you have declared to be the truth, the savior of your life, the one who came and bled and died? It wasn't brought to you by Anheuser-Busch in St. Louis, Missouri. It was brought to you by the blood of Jesus Christ. He rejected what God said to do. And so many of us reject. He spoke and we pay no attention. Now let's look at the rejection. Verse 10, the Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they paid no attention. Therefore, the Lord brought upon them the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria, who captured Manasseh with hooks and bound him with chains of bronze and brought him to Babylon. The Bible says in verse 10 that the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people. Right? Not only did Manasseh ignore God, so did the people. You have individuals who stand in the pulpit and preach false doctrine. And you have members who sit there and don't search the scriptures as they need to, as the noble Bereans did. But they just go along with it. So not only is the one who's standing before them preaching false doctrine, they're following it. They heard it too. Don't ignore what I'm saying to you. Do as I've taught you to do. Follow the things that I've commanded you to do, that I've instructed you to do. But they paid no attention. Back in verse 9, before I get to that, I want to say this. What a brazen rejection, though. When you think about it, given the nature of what Manasseh did, right? Given the nature of him erecting idols and putting these things in and doing pagan worship, is there any surprise to what came to him? Are you surprised? Well, you know, what's sad is many of us are surprised when we don't follow the instructions of God and things don't go right. Example. Me and this man have been seeing each other for quite some time and I'm in love with him. And we've been sleeping together as homosexuals. But somehow I have this dreaded disease that I can't get rid of. I have no clue what's happening. Lord, help me. I've been smoking my whole life, and now I'm diagnosed with lung cancer, and there is nothing that the doctors can do. Lord, help me. I've been drinking my whole life since I can remember, and now I have cirrhosis of the liver, and I'm going to die. Lord, help me. There is no surprise for what you're getting based on what you're putting in. If you're not paying attention to the word of God, if you're not being obedient to his word and what he has commanded, don't be surprised when there's a separation between you and him. Back in verse 9 in 2 Chronicles 33, Manasseh led Judah. Now, let me tell you something. This is what he did. Manasseh led Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem astray to do more evil, right, than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the people of Israel. They took 20 steps backwards by following his leadership, by listening to what he was saying, what he was doing. We need to be careful, saints, who it is we're listening to, who it is that we're following, and who it is that we put into leadership. That's important. Leaders play a very important role in what goes on. And while God, saints, need to be our moral compass, what happens is man becomes our moral compass. We begin to listen to man and what he says and what he believes. This is how I know. When leaders say things like there's nothing wrong with homosexuality and they call it love, and they have a civil right when God says it's an abomination. Or when leaders or presidents or those who make decisions concerning this nation say that same-sex marriages are okay and they put it into law. God ordained for man and woman to be together. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It wasn't Eve and Ava. It was Adam and Eve. He ordained for man and woman to be together. We're talking about governments who fund things like Planned Parenthood that kills unborn babies. And these are the leaders that we put into place. And they say that lives don't matter. We have to be very careful of who we follow and who we put in leadership. We're at a place where bathrooms are now open to transgenders. Where a woman who wants to be a man can go in a bathroom with your son or your husband. Or a man who says he's a woman can go in a bathroom with your daughter or your wives. We have to be very careful. I want you to understand something. It says in John chapter 12 and verse 48, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. And I'm trying to figure out why is it when God speaks, we don't listen. Why is it that it means more what man has to say than what God has to say on the matter? He says that my words will judge you. Not theirs, not his, not the judge, not the president, not the city councilman, not the alderman, my words. And you would have to take an account for how you live your life, whether or not you pay attention to what I say or not. You have to take that into account. We must obey all of God's word, not a little bit of it, not some of it, not just some of it when it feels like we can change it a little bit or it can fit our needs to accomplish what we want to accomplish. That's not faith. Second of all, it's not being obedient. Rejecting the inerrant word of God will convict the rebellious one and the judgment seat of Christ. But let me say this, with all this knowledge of understanding what it is we need to do and not do, let me tell you that what can happen, because God loves us so much. Let me tell you what happened to the man who decided to not pay attention to God's word and do what he wanted to do. Yes, he went through something. Yes, he had to pay a price. Yes, he had to be broken like some of us. I once too was a man who heard the words and didn't pay attention, and I got broken. I chose to ignore what he said, and because of it, I paid a price. But because of the love of God, there is something that we have, which is the blood of Jesus the Christ, that if we are humble enough, if we are real enough with ourselves and can say that I have not lived a life according to what God has said, what he put in his word, that thing that exists between us and having eternal salvation is repentance. In verse 12, it says, and when he was in distress, He entreated the favor of the Lord, his God, and humbled himself greatly before God of his fathers. He prayed to him, and God moved by his entreaty. He heard his plea and brought him again to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Let me ask you, do you know that he's God? So last time, when was the last time you did everything that he asked you to do? When was the last time that you loved him and you praised him like you really should? Think about the last place you were when you were in sin, and yet he loved you enough. He created an avenue. He devised a blueprint which we can follow to change our lives. We all have been at that place where we were high and we were in that kingdom and we knew that we had it all together. And because of our ignorance and our our unwillingness to be obedient, we fail. And because of repentance, because of having the right type of attitude, the right type of heart, these things changed. It was because of repentance. Manasseh's repentance of God's forgiveness to me, that was kind of unexpected. But his life was changed. I'm sure it was unexpected for some of us. I'm sure you didn't know at what point when you were out there doing whatever you were doing. You was like, I have no clue. And at some point, your heart was pricked based on the word of God. How far have you gone and yet you haven't adhered to what God has said? Are you paying attention to what God is saying? Have you ever come to your senses like Manasseh did and cried out to God and said, Lord, help me. I'm so deep in this thing. I have no clue what I'm doing, but I humble myself before you. I'm asking that you forgive me of the things that I have done intentionally, sinning against you over and over again, putting myself in a position in which if I die today, that I will be lost forever. Forgive me for my disobedience, my arrogance, my selfishness. Forgive me. The only thing that stands between you and God's complete forgiveness is repentance and obedience, saints. And you have to be willing to humble yourself to do so. What does it take for us not to go through the unnecessary things that we go through? What does it take? What else does God have to show you? What else does he have to do for you to understand that he loves you? He cares for you. He desires a relationship with you. What else does it take? We choose to live a rebellious life. It seems like every time you look up and around the corner, you're getting into trouble. You're in trouble with the law. Young people being disobedient to your parents. Scared to close your eyes at night because you know if you die tonight, it's over. Scared if you get on a plane or do anything, you praying the whole way because you know that your life isn't right. We ought to be the people when the plane is going down saying, Oh, I want to see him. See the look upon his face. We ought to be the people that are in there saying that I can't wait to see my Savior. Instead of saying I'm scared because of lying, or because of cheating, or because of stealing, or because of disobedience. People ought to know that we love him. If Manasseh had been obedient from the beginning, he could have avoided all of this, being captured by the Assyrians, leading those people astray. But he chose to not heed the warning. So I'm telling you to choose to heed the warning this morning. Acts 3, verse 19. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. If you want to blot it out, you got to turn away from it. If you want your sins forgiven, you have to repent like Manasseh did. He did a complete turnaround. This is a man who was doing some things that he shouldn't be doing. And he had a complete and utter turnaround. And after the repentance, there is something great that can happen for us, saints. Being restored. The restoration. After he built an outer wall of the city of David, west of Gihon, the valley and for the entrance into the fish gate and carried it around Ophel. and raised it to a very high height. He put commanders of the army and fortified all the cities of Judah. He started saying, you know what? I'm going to do it your way. I tried it my way and it didn't work. Let's do it your way, God. Let me do it your way. 15, he took the foreign gods and the idols out of the house of the Lord. He said, I'm going to get rid of these things. I'm going to stop serving money. I'm going to stop serving prestige. I'm going to stop chasing women. I'm going to stop living a loose life. I'm going to stop living a promiscuous life and start living for God. In verse 16, he restored the altar of the Lord and offered on it sacrifices, peace offerings, and thanksgiving. These are the things that he decided to do. He commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. When a person truly repents, saints, they will restore that which is broken. I'll say it again. When you truly have repented and you're willing to change your life, you will restore that thing that's broken. So many people will hear the truth and won't change. You can say it over and over and over. Here it is. Here it is. This is the word of God. You hear what he says and they will not pay attention. What about you making a change when you find out the gospel truth, saints? If you're here this morning and you've heard the gospel truth, someone has told you what you needed to do, changing your life around repenting, and you know the truth, and yet you have yet to obey the gospel. You understand the tenets of it all. You understand that in order for you to be saved, you have to be dipped, buried in water, rising up a new creature, and yet you refuse to do it. You have sin in your life, and yet you're too prideful to stand before the people and say, I have sinned. We all have. Have to be man enough and woman enough to trust God. Not me, but God. What his word says. God showed mercy in responding to Manasseh. His heartfelt repentance. And he'll do the same for you. He'll do the same. And like Manasseh, God can restore us, but we must repent. We have to give it over to him. Give him your heart. Give him all of you. He doesn't want some of you. He wants all of you. Give yourself away to him. The story that I'm talking about is about a rebellious individual who rejects God. And in his brokenness, he understands how much he really needed him if he only just paid attention. Saints, if we only just pay attention. Disobedience equals rebellion. Rebellion equals sin. And sin equals death spiritually. But if you are faithful to repent, you can be restored. I'll leave you with this. I once heard it said like this. A wise man learns from the mistakes of other people. But a fool will learn from his own. Will you listen to what God is saying to us this morning? Will you listen to his word and obey it and pay close attention to it? We all understand when the warning signs come up, when there's a tornado or there's an earthquake or there's a fire going on or there's an evacuation. We pay attention to, like you said, the news feeds and all the things that go on. Well, look at the warnings. Look at what's in the word of God. It is telling us what we need to do, how we need to live. Pay attention to it and do what God says. And we can avoid the mistakes and troubles that we are going through and that we're experiencing today. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness, saints. The Lord spoke, but they paid no attention. My prayer this morning is, as I preached, I hope you wouldn't sleep mentally. I hope you wouldn't sleep spiritually. I hope you took everything that I said into consideration to know that when God speaks, you need to be listening. I'll say it again. Not when Chris speaks, you need to be listening. When God speaks, you need to be listening. If you're here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel, if you have not been buried in water, if you're not in Christ, you have an opportunity this morning. He said, he that believes and is baptized, not he that believes and comes to church, or he that looks at Joel Osteen on a television station, he that does good deeds will be saved. He says that he that believes and is baptized will be saved. And you have an opportunity to do that now, to be connected with him and fellowship with him. And if you are here and you are a Christian and you have obeyed the gospel, but yet there are some things in your life that you have not gotten right, you have to do it now. Pay attention to what God is saying before it's too late. So if you're here this morning and you are subject to the invitation, I plead with you to come now as together we stand and sing.